Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Healthy and Thriving Relationships Podcast. We are Gordon and Tara Avery, a husband and wife team that is super passionate about healthy and thriving relationships. Everything from dating to marriage to faith to yourself. You know, we just want all of your relationships to flourish. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and let's do this thing. It's Gordon and Tara. I know there was already the intro.
Like you just heard.
I know there was already an intro, but that's already been pre-recorded.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you've noticed, it's the same message every time. So sometimes I feel like, well, I want to do
gotta
it again.
I got to say hello again.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's very you.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are in a series right now all about healthy communication.
Mm.
Super fun because, you know, so many problems in relationships come down to just simple miscommunications that if we just like learn each other's communication styles and backgrounds and all that kind of stuff, we could prevent so much frustration.
I guess you could say communication is like a form of like verbal clarity. Mm-hmm. You know, you're being clear and the other person understands like what you're saying. And so like, you know, if you think about it, a lack of clarification equals frustration. If you're really frustrated, chances are things aren't fully clear. There hasn't been good clarification on things. And that happens all the time in relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so excited for this series. It's really fun what we're going to be talking about, especially today. Today's is a really fun topic. Texting rules for relationships.
Yeah, because how often is there so much miscommunication in texting?
Oh my gosh, all the freaking time.
All the time. So it seems kind of a funny topic to bring up in a communication series, but because we all do it, we figure let's talk about it.
Oh, absolutely. So, hey, you know what? When I think about texting, I think back to my childhood. My childhood before there was such a thing as texting.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing I grew up in like the 90s. So in the 90s, welcome to school in the 90s was, and maybe this is still happening, I don't know. But we used to, the big thing was passing notes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, passing notes during class is kind of a dangerous thing. There's a lot of rules and there's a lot of things that can...
This brings back so many fond memories.
Oh my
goodness. I just have like the biggest smile on my face.
Because when you're passing notes, you got to think like, okay, what kind of note am I passing? You know, how much can I trust my fellow classmates to keep it, you know, on the down low? And are they good at passing notes without being seen? Because, you know, there's one thing. If you're like, you know, passing some stupid goofy thing to your friend, if you get caught, that's one thing. But if you're passing notes to the most beautiful girl in the whole wide room, that's all of a sudden things have gotten real dicey. That's a dangerous thing because you got to know like, well, what kind of teacher is this? Is this
I did
a teacher?
Not pass love notes.
No. Well, you got to think because like, what kind of teacher? Teachers are different. Some teachers will take the note and then read it in front of the whole class.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scary one. So you got to know, is it worth the risk, you know, with Mr. Bowen? I just made up that name. He's going to read in front, or are you going to be the teacher that takes you right to the principal's office?
Mm-hmm.
Or is who you're passing to is also important because, you know, Johnny over here has a tendency to read the notes that you pass. Like, it's not for you. Send it to like... Sarah,
oh,
I don't
see,
know.
When I passed notes, it was directly to the person. There was no like pass it along in a chain thing.
Okay. So it was just like right next.
Oh, yeah. It was either they were sitting like across from you.
Okay.
In front of you, behind you, across from you. So that was easy.
Yeah.
If they were a little ways away, you could kind of toss it. Would land on the floor. But you had to do it when the teacher wasn't looking.
Would you wait until you saw... Like, would you make eye contact and then you would do the toss? Or was it kind of like the toss was supposed to get their attention? Like, how?
That's a good question. I feel like it was both.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was this one time.
So when you're, wait, I was so intrigued. Like a, when I you're was tossing, such a ninja. Were you, was it like a crumple?
No, or was it crumpled. Like a, no, we like folded airplane? Them into like football shapes. Like, you know, when you play okay. like table football, it was usually a football shape or just a rectangle.
Because I can imagine the shape is really important because if it's the wrong shape, it's going to flutter in the air and catch wind, you know? And then all of a sudden it's like not going anywhere near.
No, if it's too far. Okay. Let me tell you this story. Okay. I was like, and I'm a very like shy. I was a very shy kid.
Yeah.
Very afraid of getting caught. So this was like a big deal for me. Was one, I remember like so clearly one day in class, I wanted to pass a note to a friend, but she was like in the same row as me, but like way far down.
Yeah.
It's one thing to like toss a note to someone who's like sitting in front of you, a couple yeah, of seats yeah. or behind you. And so I literally like the teacher's desk was behind all the chairs. So it's like we're all facing towards the board, but her desk was in behind. So I was like in the front row. And so just, you know, peek back and make sure the teacher's not looking. And I got out of my seat. Like army crawled across the floor to my friend. She didn't do that back. I'm sure that she probably just passed it like along a chain of people back to me. But yeah.
Wait, did you get caught on this?
No, and I never got caught.
You successfully made it there and back without the teacher even noting?
Yeah, I'm ninja, babe.
Oh, that is so true because sometimes I swear I'm like in the room working and then you're just right next to me all of a sudden and I could not I'm hear a quiet. Thing and you're just there and I'm like, oh,
I'm
my
a quiet gosh. Talker. I'm a quiet walker. You're like opposite.
I am like such a loud walker. The guys in college like used to make fun of me.
Oh my yeah. Even in high school, we had like a whole passing notes like notebook because, you Whoa. Know, in high school you have yeah. different classes. So you pass your friends along, you know, as you're changing classes and you just pass the notebook.
Yeah.
But yeah, good old passing notes days. It's kind of funny because it's like texting.
Yeah.
Is basically the digital version of passing notes.
If you think about it, it is. It's you're literally passing little tiny notes mm-hmm. to each other. And instead of writing pen and paper, you're just using like a
you
digital form.
You don't have
form.
To like risk as much. You don't have to get out of your chair to go For pass sure. the
yeah.
note. But
yeah.
So it's easier in a sense, but it's also like so confusing.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you think about texting, it changed the game. It really did. Once texting became, I remember at first texting was like, you had to pay per text. And then you'd get really mad at the friend who texted you.
We're like aging ourselves.
And you're like, oh my gosh, do you know how much money? I don't have that. Like, I have to pay to read your text. Stop texting me.
Yeah. And you had to put your phone in like T9 oh, mode yeah. in order to do like full words.
Listen, if you're Gen Z or younger, you have no idea.
Those were like such a great time. So it's such good a, days. Like, it's so fun to like have been part of both like the transition between generations in terms yeah. of technology.
And it feels like texting's been around now for a little while, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But if you think about it, it's not, there's a lot of, it's not clear on how we're supposed to go about texting. It really did, as we mentioned, change the game for relationships. Like, think about, like, what are the rules for texting? Are there any rules?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, like, what is appropriate? And what's inappropriate. There, mm-hmm. there's everyone has like a different opinion on what like what's appropriate to text or
yeah.
what's inappropriate to text. We have, when we work with other like vendors in the wedding industry and such, some vendors are like, I text my clients. And then mm-hmm. others are like, no, that's unprofessional. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. it's not clear like which way to go on that.
Yeah.
Or like what can you say? Or what can you not say yeah. on a text?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, is there anyone that I shouldn't text? Are there yeah. people that I really, it would not be good for me to text? Or is kind of like anyone free game?
Right. We all have different ideas and different rules totally. Around what we think is appropriate and inappropriate for texting.
Yeah. And so I think it's time that we start having some texting rules for relationship because the stakes are actually higher than you might think. Like, okay, for example, studies are showing now that most affairs start with a secret texting relationship.
Yeah, I believe it. I've known people in my life who have like been on the verge of affairs because of texting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, I think we almost are taking texting too lightly, maybe. Mm-hmm. To where it's almost like it's the subtle thing that we just don't think is that damaging or that impactful. And we are watching. I've seen people's relationships or friendships end because of texting.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So texting is it's here to stay for, well, foreseeable future, mm-hmm. as long as we have like phones that are cell phones. So it's probably about time to do some texting rules.
Yeah. Yeah. So the rules we're going to talk about today are like, there's just three of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're like very, I feel like they're very like simple.
Yeah.
Doable. Like it's very understanding why these would be like kind of a wide range. Everybody's kind of on this playing field of what these rules should be. Is it just healthy? It's just totally healthy for your relationships. Okay, so let's dive into the first rule.
And before we dive in, real quick,
okay.
I just want to say these are the rules that we have put in place in our relationship from the time we started courting.
Not only now. Our relationship, but our relationship with other people too.
And with other people too.
Friends and family members. And
when people ask us like, how do you guys go about texting and all that? We said there's three things. They're like three, they're almost not even rules. They're basically like principles.
Mm-hmm.
Because principles like are things that kind of stick
they're
around.
They're more foundational.
They're more foundational and they're more flexible. Rules like you have to constantly be changing. They're more strict. Mm-hmm. But rules for relationships sounds nice. So we'll just call them rules.
All right,
okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Texting rule number one. Texting does not count as talking.
This is so important.
Yeah. It's not like we're saying texting's evil.
No, no.
And it's like the enemy of relationships.
No.
No, we're not saying that. But there is a problem when all you're doing is texting.
Yeah.
Because it's a form of communication that's like you to get detached from body language and tone of voice is like huge. And
oh, yeah.
Just context of like maybe you're not getting the full story over a text or why someone's reacting the way they're reacting or what kind of day they've had or like
totally,
you know, that kind of stuff. And just environment plays a big role in that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just, I love it when we say don't count texting as talking. If you think about it, it's quite literally true.
Mm-hmm.
What you are doing is you are writing and reading.
That's true.
That it's communication. You are communicating, but it is not talking. But oftentimes we think, I ask people, I remember I've heard this so often to be like, oh, like a new relationship and hey, how are you guys doing? Or just like brother, sister relationship or friends and be like, oh yeah, we've been talking a lot recently. I'm like, oh wow, like that's awesome. When do you guys like get on the phone and talk? And they're like, oh, I mean, we're text. Oh, okay, so you text a lot. When do you guys ever like just talk and sit down and talk or call each other on the phone? Well, no, but we talk a lot. And I was going, no, it's fine. You're texting.
Mm-hmm.
You're not talking. You are writing and reading.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, and I think it's really important to understand and to just put that in place, that like, this just isn't talking. It reminds me of famous study. There's a guy named Desmond Morris. And I think he was an anthropologist and sociologist. He studied a lot of basically communication between different cultures and how different people like communicated, as well as even starting with like apes and starting there and watching how they communicated in their little tribes, you know, and did a lot of like just understanding intimacy and how people bond. And Desmond Joy, then who is also like a counselor.
Donald
Joy also took like basically Desmond Morris's like research and kind of together created this whole plan for like what constitutes human bonding and intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different levels of intimacy and like it's pretty fascinating stuff. But I remember what they decided is after looking at everything, and they said, if you want to have in a perfect world, if you could set it up just right for like, say, bonding between two people looking to be in a romantic relationship,
mm-hmm.
that they found that one, that you should have 1,000 hours of voice-to-voice communication before there was any physical touch for there to be the, to maximize intimacy. Now, and so obviously, usually we at least shake hands, a little side hug, whatever. But the idea, the principle was, they were like, when you study human intimacy and bonding, like if you have that much voice to voice communication before you start getting to like more physically intimate, like that is going to set you up for the most intimacy you could possibly imagine. They just started noticing voice to voice is crucial. If you want to become really close to someone, you need to have a lot of voice to voice communication.
Yeah. I remember when we experienced this, I think it was definitely before we were married. And we would both be working in our day.
We just got together, actually.
Was it when we just got together?
We had just gotten together. Because I think I know where you're going with this.
I think we're remembering this story differently.
When we first got together, officially like courting, we were both so busy that we had like no time to get together. We were trying to figure out how could we had like late night, a couple hours, like on a Wednesday or something like that, that we would go to like Sherry's and like hang out for a couple hours. And
I don't know what Sherry's is. It was like our local little cafe.
It was like a 24-hour. It's kind of like Denny's. And so we didn't have like a lot of time to get together and to talk or anything like that.
Yeah. But I remember we got to a point where we were just texting a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did start texting out texting
a lot throughout the day. Just like, you know, little like flirtatious texts and hey, how are yous and stuff. And I remember when we had the conversation, it was like, man, we're just not feeling like we still just kind of feel disconnected. Even though we're, quote, talking all day long throughout our day, there's still like a disconnect.
Yeah.
Or like just a lack of like connection or intimacy. And we could not figure it out for a while because we were like, this seems weird because we, you know, we see each other when we can and we talk a lot. We talk all the time over like texting and stuff.
Yeah.
And we would talk on the phone too, but
not
very
often. Yeah. Yes, it was mostly trying to like connect during those couple hours that we had at first.
Yeah. So we like talked about it and we came up with what we call the 10-minute talk. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. Basically, it was the idea was we need to, because we had heard about the study and voice to voice and how important that is. And we were, so at first we were just trying to go, well, we just need to find more physical time to be together.
Right. And that was tough.
It just like was impossible at first. And so, yeah, I loved this. It was, hey, we both have a lunch break while we're working. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk during lunch on the phone.
On the phone, yeah.
And for 10 minutes. And the rule was like 10 minutes to say, hey, it only has to be 10 minutes. And the other person, if they need to go, is allowed to say, hey, it's been 10 minutes. I need to go.
Yeah. So we won't have hurt feelings or anything if the other person has to go. But it's like, yeah, let's just at least talk for 10 minutes.
Yeah. And a lot of times it was just 10 minutes.
We can keep it going if we want. But if someone needs to go, then, you know, we give each other the grace without adding any guilt to like say like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Just 10 minutes. We didn't go over that very often because you didn't have a very long lunch break. So it wasn't like we could talk for hours anyways. You know, it was just a short amount of voice-to-voice time. And it was really like, how's your day going? And that was it.
Yeah, it was really, how's your day?
Just kind of discussing, you know, this is what's going on.
I remember like shortly after we started doing this every day, like feeling like so much more connected to you.
Yes. I remember feeling, because I'm a deep feeler, so I feel everything. My whole life is just feelings. I felt within like 2 days that I was more connected to you than like, I don't know how long it would be a day, like a month that we've been courting. And it was like, and we're not even talking about deep things. And that's when we realized like the power and the importance of like voice to voice, just the little bit. And we're just talking about day stuff and just that connection bonded us so much closer than like 2 days worth of like texting. It was remarkable. And we actually, it made us like text a little bit less.
Because we knew we were going to like talk later. Or at some point in that day. So things that we would typically like text each other about, we would just be, oh, I'll tell them later. or whatever. And then texting would just be like just silly little, like, it's I'm like thinking bonus. Of you.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. I miss you or things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's so funny bringing that up because there's recently we had a friend who kind of started a new relationship. And we told her like, hey, you guys should like, and they're like long distance or whatever. And so they were talking about their texting a lot, you know, trying to talk. And I was like, hey, you should really try instead of texting, like just have a FaceTime or just a phone call and just try that. And so she did. They just said, hey, instead of texting like all day and try to communicate these things and stuff, let's just like, let's do a FaceTime tonight for like, you know, 10, 20 minutes. And when she came back, like we were like hanging out and she was like, oh my word. We literally, she was like, I don't know if I ever want to text again. We in 20 minutes on FaceTime, like all of our miscommunication that would take days of texting to figure out instantly solved.
Yeah.
Our connection was remarkable. And just going on and on about like, wow, like, holy smokes, we're like really like, hey, let's plan to just voice to voice or FaceTime, one of those two. And it was just a really cool reminder of like, oh, wow, the power of voice to voice and how much we are missing that out because of the ease of texting. It's just like more convenient and easy that it's the connection when you start having voice to voice is just so much more.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing, when you're only texting, that can be a problem is it leads us to like false intimacy with each other. Leads us feeling like leads us to feel like we're way closer to each other than we actually are because like leaves you with those like excited feelings and those in love feelings. And because if you're just talking all the time or thinking you're talking all the time just because you're texting like constantly.
Yeah.
It can definitely lead you towards that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. It's interesting is then, but then when you do have voice to voice, you realize like how much more impactful that is than texting, but you're right. Like because we think of it as talking, it does, it's like a false, oh yeah, we talk all the time. We're connecting all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's really takes like incredibly so much longer to connect on text than it would over voice, you know, literally sometimes days of texting and everything is solved within like 10 minutes on a phone call. So
it makes me think of like another form of the old, like of passing notes in an older form was like AOL Instant Messenger. If anyone knows
this what when, that like, is. The internet was just getting rolling, right?
We just called it like AIM or IM or whatever. And like, internet was newer and you know, you'd go home from school and you don't have cell phones to text or anything. So you'd go home and you'd turn on your dial-up internet and get on there and then open like Instant Messenger and you just start like, see who's on and you start to like,
oh my gosh, you know, those like days.
Chatting with them basically, like your friends from school that you just saw when you just left school. But it's like so different when you see them out of school. And I remember like my friend, one of my good friends, like had a boyfriend. Who was in our class and who we went to school with. And, but they would only talk on AOL Instant Messenger. So like they felt so close and like intimate with each other, but only on AOL Instant Messenger. So it was like, we'd go to school and we'd see him, like they'd see each other, but no, they would not talk.
Not talk when they're in person, but just like.
Would not talk when they're in person. Cause you can like say things over chat or text or whatever that like, you wouldn't say to someone in person. Mm. You can kind of be more like flirtatious or more like bold in how you speak and those kinds of things. And so sometimes you're not being your true self when you're on like a chat or when you're texting with someone. And so that can lead to like a false intimacy. And really that relationship, it's like a silly middle school relationship.
Yeah, totally.
If you can even call it a relationship. But is really, it was like a sign of immaturity. And
which I think texting, all makes sense to us now. We're like, oh yeah, middle school.
No,
you can't talk face to face. Oh yeah. And it's an immature relationship.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But even today, like adults will do this. Adults will just text a bunch and not talk a lot in person or not keep up like, you know, phone conversations and afraid to dive into kind of that vulnerability and like emotional intimacy that you can have face to face. And so texting even today can be like, if you're only texting, like a sign of immaturity. in your relationship.
I would go even further of not just only text, because I think most people would say, well, of course I don't only text.
Right.
I think it's like, no, if you text more than you talk.
Yeah, that's this true. Is,
it's leading you to a false sense of,
yeah, that's a better way
of
to put it.
Intimacy. And I think your point is really good, that it really is a, when you can't talk face to face, or you don't talk face to face, like you can talk, but you choose not to talk face to face, it is a sign of immaturity. I think about like in sixth grade, I got my first, do you like me? I like you note. This was a wow. big moment for me. It was like, hey, I actually kind of have a crush on you and I like you. Do you like me? And it was like, check yes, no, or maybe.
So funny.
And I got the thing and I was like, oh, this is a big decision.
Oh man, which box do I check?
Oh, what am I? Oh, wow, I didn't even think like about you? This girl before. There's this other
oh my
girl.
Gosh.
There's this and other girl that I actually like. But now that she likes me, I'm like, oh, well, that's like less risk. I remember talking to my like, it was like sixth grade, my best friend. And I was like, well, what should I do? And he's like, well, you don't know if this other girl likes you, but you know this girl likes you. So that's a safer bet. Mm-hmm. And you know. But like, instead of then talking to her face to face, what do? Well, I answer on a note and then hand it to someone else to hand to her, right?
Yeah.
This is just classic, like, oh my, hey, could you tell that other person this message from me? Mm-hmm. It's immaturity, you know? Maturity yeah. is found in face to face.
Yep.
And you can actually start seeing just kind of an overall criticism of our culture right now. We don't hardly have any communication face to face. We're really brave and all that kind of stuff on social media and texting. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the adult form of passing notes. Mm-hmm. We're really going backwards to middle school, you know, a truly mature person is like, let's talk about this face to face.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of bravery and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's kind of the things with texting is just don't count it as talking,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Each of these little rules we're going to attach with like a little challenge at the end. So the challenge for this one is just like text as much as you want. Like that's fine. Like we said, it's not like evil. Just don't count it as talking. Mm. Make sure that you're actually having voice-to-voice communication. That you're talking like, you know, vulnerable with each other. And
yeah, like make it a practice. Make it a goal maybe. To say, hey, we're going to, with a person, whoever you're wanting to build a relationship with, especially like dating or in marriage, all that stuff, we're going to have a time every day where we put the phone down and we're going to make sure that we talk voice to voice. In person is the best, but at least over the phone, we're going to actually have a 10-minute talk time or something. We're going to make sure that every day that we have a time that we are communicating. Because you want to get that 1,000 hours. If you can before marriage, that's like the best. Mm-hmm. But if you need to play catch up, you know, you just want to start doing that.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Okay. Rule number two. What do we got, babe?
Rule number two is never fight over text.
Mm.
This is somehow so easy to do. Mm-hmm. It's so much harder to like fight face to face because you can like we were talking about in the last one with AIM and stuff, like you can say more than you might say to someone in person and you don't have to be as like vulnerable or maybe it like, you know, you aren't as afraid to say certain things.
Absolutely. I cannot tell you how many relationships I've seen like ruined or damaged because of fighting over text. Yep. And sometimes we don't call it fighting. We're like, no, we're just like having a disagreement and having it over text.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about texting, is actually counterproductive in a lot of ways. Why do I say that? Well, basically, here's what I mean by why it's counterproductive is because texting removes, especially if you're having an important discussion, a fighting over something, a dialogue, a debate on something, is one thing that texting removes is it removes one of the most crucial elements in communication, and that is tone of voice.
Mm-hmm.
So much. Have you ever gotten a text where you literally are like, this could be sarcastic or serious and I don't know which one it is? And you kind of have to guess?
Like nowadays we have emojis.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people use emojis to kind of, you know, like show what they're feeling or what their tone is. But how many people do we know that don't use any emojis?
Oh my gosh. They just or text? Any like
smiley faces or any exclamation form of mark. Like anything. So even with emojis, like we have access to these things that could help us.
They help like a little bit.
Tone
yeah.
of voice and stuff like that. But then there's still, you know, you can't guarantee that people are going to use those.
Or sometimes like someone uses an emoji and they think that it means one. Like you've ever met like.
Yes. Yes. My brother and I recently had a conversation over one of the emojis he used and I interpreted it as something else. And I was like, oh, why do you feel that way? And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, you're like emoji. He's like, oh, I see that emoji is like meaning this. And I'm like, oh, I always thought it meant this.
Everyone also, like one emoji can mean one thing to one
person.
So now
person
we're having
a whole conversation over miscommunication around an emoji.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
But when you have when you like can hear someone's tone of voice,
mm-hmm.
you pick up so much information that you're not even consciously aware of.
Yeah.
And so that's why, especially with something as important as if it's important enough for you to fight about it,
mm-hmm.
you need to hear the other person's tones of voice, because otherwise texting, like because of this really leads to a high increase in the likelihood of misunderstandings.
Yeah, totally.
There is so many ways you can miscommunicate over text, partly too, because it's such a small, it makes you feel like, texting encourages you to try to communicate in very small amount of words. You ever like get a text from someone where like, oh my gosh, they texted me like a book because it looks like you're scrolling.
It looks like so much.
If you were to, but you don't realize how small our phones are.
Yeah.
And if you, even the bigger phones, if you actually wrote that out in a letter, you'd be like, oh, that was like two sentences. But on a phone, it looks like a book. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Why would, oh my word. When am I going to read this? And it's just the format that it's in makes it look like it's huge.
Yeah.
When really it's like, yes, it was like two sentences or three sentences, not even a paragraph.
Yeah. yeah.
And so it's just like, it's setting you up for failure, especially when you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the number one most important rule. Like if you only took one of these rules, mm-hmm. these three, and then maybe just take this one at
just
least.
Just don't fight over text.
Just like, do not.
Just leave arguments for face-to-face or at least over the phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd
say like another thing too, another problem would you say with texting when it comes to fighting is it tends to make you bolder?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of touched on that a little bit earlier, but because how often in an argument, because I have had text arguments and they're stupid and wasteful and I've learned like, it should not do this.
Yeah.
I think we've all been like guilty of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're like, when you get a response that you're like, makes you mad or upset or like you just want to start texting like right away, like back and you're just like texting this like fast message back, almost like barely reading what they said because you're like responding so much. It just makes you bolder because you're texting back out of anger or frustration oftentimes. So you're really like, it's less about getting understanding in the argument and more about just getting your point across.
That's true, because actually people get then upset if you don't text them immediately.
Yeah.
And if I text immediately and we're having a heated debate, I'm not processing and thinking about the words that I'm saying, which is actually not good. You don't want to be hasty in what you say. You want to like sit and think.
No, we were just talking today about the danger of our like words and speaking out of anger and how much like God's word speaks against that. Like do not speak out of anger, because we oftentimes will say things that we would never say to someone in person, but we'll say it over text.
For sure. Because then if you don't respond fast because you're really thinking through your response, then the other person can easily then take your silence as you're communicating that they're trying to ignore you and now they're like, I seen me out. And so it leads you to so much miscommunication because you cannot see each other, first of all. So you're not seeing the body language or your tone of voice. And so, just don't fight over text.
Yeah. That's the challenge. Just don't fight over text. Try to wait until, like, if something is between you guys and maybe it started over a text message, like, and now you're feeling all this miscommunication, just wait until you see each other in person. Like, you can even text, like, hey, let's talk about this later.
That's what I would say, suggest is, because you don't want to leave it silent.
Right.
So just say, hey, listen, or you could even, with a friend that you have, you know, you might have to say, hey, listen, I have a new rule that I will not have any fights or debates over text. Mm-hmm. I only do those in person or voice to voice on the phone. And so let's pick a time. When can we talk on the phone or get together and let's discuss this further? And if they're like, no, I want to discuss it now, then you just ignore it and you don't answer or reply, or you ask them again, I won't respond. I want to do this in person or on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person doesn't understand that, you might want to reevaluate that friendship.
Yeah. All right. And getting to the third
rule, number three.
Which is speak the important stuff.
Mm. Okay, an illustration.
Yeah. Let's start with the illustration.
Illustration. Imagine with me that you were given two choices. You can have ice cream right now, or you can have ice cream in like 3 hours. Okay, but here's the catch. The catch is, if you have ice cream right now, and it's as much as you want. You can have as much ice cream as you want. You can have it right now. Or you can have as much as you want. You got to wait 3 hours. The catch is that if you have it right now, you will only be able to taste 10% of the flavor. If you wait for 3 hours, you will be able to taste 100% of the flavor.
Yes.
Which one do you choose?
100% of the flavor.
Me too.
Like, who wants like a watered down taste in ice cream cone?
Yeah. In fact, that might be like the worst thing that could ever happen to you in life, was you to have ice cream and you could only taste like 10% of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Come on. That? And it's hard enough to say no to ice cream. I almost never do say no to ice cream. It's a problem. I know. But the reason that I bring that up is experts say that when you text, it removes 90% of the impact of your words.
Man, that's
so a what lot. You're doing is removing 90% of the impact. So it would be like having ice cream, but only being able to taste 10% of it. And part of the big reason, as what we just said, is you don't have the tone of voice, but you also don't have body language, especially if you can see a person.
Yeah, so much is said through body language.
Yeah, voice to voice is really powerful. And then if you go voice to voice and you can see the person.
Body language, facial expression.
Yeah, it's so much. And so my question is what if there's someone that you love and you want to communicate your love to them, what do they deserve? 10%? Of the impact of your words, or 100% of the impact of your words. And so this is something that we've also said, is that we really, if there's something really important, like something, a way that I want to express my love to you, try to make sure I say that in person or over the phone, voice to voice.
Yeah.
Because I want you to have the most impact possible. Like, think about this, like, what is more impactful? Me saying, I love you over text. And I do that all the time with friends. Hey, I love you. When someone says, hey, I love you over text, or if I looked you in the eyes and said, I love you, what is more impactful?
Oh, looking me in the eyes and saying it to my face.
Yeah. And oftentimes what texting has created is this creative excuse, a way to like not say the things that we feel in person.
Yeah, that's vulnerable. In person is way more vulnerable than over text. And so when we have important things to say, of course, we should save them for in person.
Yeah, it's so powerful. It reminds me of one of my dear friends. He was telling me about an experiment in college. It was like a psychology class. And he basically had like the students like leave the room, have them come in one at a time, and he would communicate something to them. And then they had to communicate that thing to other people. And what they ended up doing one of the times is he would have them turn his back to him to So they couldn't see him and they had to hear what he said. And then they had to tell the rest of the group what he said.
Interesting.
Versus those that looked at him in the face and he said something and then they communicated to others. And basically his point was this, as they discovered in this professor said, this happens every time that I think our friend, he has a really incredible memory. He was the only one in the entire class that without looking at the professor when he spoke could accurately communicate what he said.
Wow.
Most, like 99%, would kind of forget what he said. But whenever someone like looked them in the eyes while he spoke, they would remember everything that he said. And the idea was like the closer you get to like eye-to-eye contact, voice-to-voice, where you can see the person, the more we remember things. The more you remove that voice to voice, just the difference between voice to voice and personal contact, you forget more. And then if you remove even voice to voice and you just send like a text or anything like that or written communication, you remember even less. And so it was just, I remember what I was like, we were talking about like, oh, we're going to do this podcast on it. And he told me that story. And I was like, wow, that's really remarkable. And say, if you really want someone to really remember that you love them, say it to them face to face. Save it for that. So speak the important stuff.
Totally. And so the challenge is to take a risk, to be vulnerable and give your loved ones the full impact of your words. Because that's what they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. It is vulnerable and it is risky, but it's like, isn't that what like love is about? With friends, with like, if you have kids, like say this to them.
It doesn't mean that you can never say this over text.
No.
Do that too, but just make sure you're saying it to their face also. And it's not just something that you say when you're not with them.
Yeah. So I guess like recapping the rules is basically just text as much as you want, but texting does not count as talking. Then just never fight via text. Never do it. And then speak the important stuff.
Yeah.
Really go, oh, I want to tell them like this, and then make sure that you do it. Those are really like three basic principles that we have followed in our own life, and they have like made our relationships so much more rich and it's protected us. I don't think we've ever now, since we implemented these, we haven't lost a single friendship or had a really hard thing because of texting.
Right.
So it's been really, really, really helpful. And I think it's created a healthy balance and boundaries with texting and
totally
voice to voice. And so. Yeah.
So we just to reiterate, like texting isn't evil.
No.
And we're not saying that it's the enemy to relationships. Like it's great. Text. Yeah. But it is just a tool.
Yeah.
And some of like examples of texting in a way that's not like that's in a tool way.
That's like a very like it's good, it's helpful.
Are like, you know, sending encouragement to your friends or people you love. Like if I'm like reading scripture in my day and a verse really sticks out and I'm like, oh man, maybe this person would really want to hear this, send it their way, or just like an I'm thinking of you, or like texts like that, like are really enjoyable to get throughout the day.
Totally. They don't replace the power of like saying it, but it is a nice little thing to just, hey, missing you today. Hey, thinking about you today. Totally. Hey, I read the scripture. Hope it's encouraging. Of course, like that is a nice little tool to just add, as long as it's not the main thing. The main way you're communicating is, that's a great example.
Another great way to use texting is when you're making plans.
Oh, I mean,
Yeah. It's like you're organizing a hangout with friends and you're like, you know, making like Friday at 7 game night.
Oh, totally.
Like whatever. That's simple, easy to text.
Hey, what's the address of the place we're going to? Here's the address. Here's what time we're meeting. This is like directions to my house. Hey, actually, remember when you're here, maps will tell you over here, but do this thing. Like, it's just basically, if you think about it, it's all just like information stuff that you need to know.
Yeah.
And that is super helpful with texting. It's a great tool for that. It's so much easier. I remember back in the day, you had to like call them, hey, what it is, get out a piece of paper and then you had to like write all this stuff and like talk through. And then the person's like, well, I never look at the streets. I just look at landmarks. And so when you see this like green tractor on the left, that's when you turn right, you know. So texting has like become, it's really a helpful tool in that way, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the last thing, I mean, there's lots of good reasons to text too. Like we said, it's not evil, but it's just to share, you know, share pictures of your like loved ones. Like I love getting pictures of my family, like my nieces and nephews or who are in my life, or just silly videos or things like that, or that just bring a smile to people's day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is a good tool, but remember it is limited.
Mm-hmm.
It's in fact, very limited. Like it is no replacement for voice to voice. Like think about the 1,000-hour study.
Mm-hmm.
It's no replacement. It's going to get you nowhere near.
Right.
So it is very limited. In fact, also you might be missing out on a lot of memories by texting instead of talking.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you texted versus like, let me come on over and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. Hey, I'm going through a hard time. Hey, what's going on? And you're texting and they're starting to explain. Can you imagine the memories when you come over? Hey, I'm dropping something. We're going to come over to your house. We're going to talk about it. That creates this memory. Hey, remember when you came over and I was struggling with it? So texting is a nice tool. Just remember it's very limited. And just have some healthy rules about it.
Yeah.
And then texting just becomes a great, nice tool in your tool case. That when you need it, you pull it out.
Yeah.
And so those are the texting rules that we have put in our life. And hopefully like that brings a lot of clarity and protects you from a lot of heartache and confusion or frustration.
Yes.
So those would be our texting rules.
For your relationships.
Yeah. Awesome. All
right. Well, as always, you can check more of our stuff out on our website, TaraandGordon.com. We have free resources on there that you can download, as well as signing up for our Love and Lattes email list where it's like a coffee date with us each week.
Yep. Awesome. Well, you guys have an amazing, amazing day. If you thought this was helpful, send it to all your friends. Tell them about it. Have conversations about it. See if you agree or you disagree or all of that kind of stuff. We'd love to hear from you guys. And hopefully this is a great starter to bring more like health and to your relationships and communication. So, all right, we'll be back next week with another communication episode. So coming up.
Okay,
all right. See you guys.